Action Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Ray, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio! We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
From aluminum foil, where it had this foil lined, in case an alien's inclined to probe your butt or read your mind. Looks a bit peculiar. Seems a little crazy, but someday I'll prove there's a big conspiracy.
Welcome to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. It's 2 a.m. on the east coast of the United States. I have no idea what time it is down and under, but it is time for Shiny Side Out with Dave and Mecki. So I hope you have your tinfoil hat all made and cinched down tight over your ears. So take it away, Dave and Mecki.
Tap, tap, tap. Is this thing on? This is Dave.
And Mecki!
This is our Shiny Side Out on WZZR, coming to you from Australia for Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com. And you know that it's home to fresh, unfiltered ideas and conversations that you'll find inside the chat room and freedomslips.com is also a great place to get your merch. This is show number 552.
The 2, 5, and 5. Get your sloppy seconds here.
Oh, dear. Yes. Because, the internet is for something. Catch us on air.
The internet is for.
So catch us on air, online, and anywhere on your smart device. So grab an app to listen anywhere or just sit at home and listen to a Grace Tabletop Digital Radio. If you missed Solaris's show with Rene Colston, you missed a great show. That's Solaris's awesome show. Goodness me. Now we're talking about animal healing. Look, so many important things in our lives with all these crazy things going on around us, you know, geopolitically. We should focus on the simple things, on the things that make us better people. And I think that's one of those things. And my hat goes off to you. Thank you very much, Solaris, for entertaining us, informing us, and having great guests as usual. However, not in the however on how awesome she is, because she's just awesome. You know what? If you don't know who we're talking about when I say Solaris Blue Raven, you can Google her. She's an author. She's been in documentaries. She's had her own experiences, which are just phenomenal. And I have to say, she's a brave lady. And if you don't investigate her shows by two ways, one, you can listen to Revolution Radio in the 2 hours prior to when we come on air, or you could just simply jump into the archives and you can download a whole bunch of them. And they come in MP3 format, so they're really easy to listen to on any smart device, because they just play them by default, right? Basically, all the new smart devices are basically, you know, copies of an iPod from those times gone by. Remember when they used to be wood grain? The old iPod. Anyway, it's free to access the archives, so jump in there and grab her shows. But not only will you find Solaris Blue Raven shows, you'll find Shiny Side Out. You'll find our other show, Plato's Cave. You can catch that on. Hey, listen to the segue. Catch that on the Tuesday and the Thursday morning or noon or night, whatever time zone is, on Tuesdays. But you'll find all of the host shows on Revolution Radio. Now, if you like anything that Revolution Radio provides you, I suppose, it's information really, or conversations, if you're entertained by any of it, please donate. And you can donate by either buying merch, you can donate directly through almost any medium that is known to humanity. You can become a Patreon. And in the old days, you could just simply subscribe to the archives. But, yeah, it's free now, so do what you need to do. Now, welcome to country. I'm broadcasting out of Darkinjung country. Mackie, how about you?
Darug country, my friend.
Yes. And we did the research to find out who the traditional custodians of land were, I suppose, are, because the mobs still exist. Whether or not they're there, the regions are still regions. No one's changing the lines on the map. So do that for yourself. Understand who the traditional owners of the land are or were, in whichever case, and find out more about them. Find out how they lived on the land. Because with all this crazy stuff going on in the world, you may need to know that. And I don't mean prepping for a first world country. I mean prepping for a third world country where there is nothing, where your resources and whatever you can make, whatever you can do, I think that's really super important. And that's kind of a segue out of my final phrase that Mackie and I pay our respects to elders past, present, and future. So, sorry, guys, last week I was at the Bathurst 1000 base, the last of the Holdens on the mountain. They won't be there again because they're moving to a different platform, and there'll be Mustangs versus Camaros. The Holden brand itself closed many years ago, and so did the local Ford brand. And it's the end of an era in some ways, and a new one in others. But we'll have to see whether the diehard fans are just going up to the mountain to escape their normal day-to-day issues as a holiday, or are they going there to watch their favorite drivers, or are they going there to support a specific vehicle brand? And that's going to be a new thing that happens. So imagine, Mickey, in the Formula One, if they went to EVs instead, what would that do for the sport? If the MotoGP, if that went to EVs, like mopeds, right, what would happen to the sport? It would die. It would die a very quick death. So I'm not saying that the V8 supercars are going to be EVs anytime soon. They talked about this push-to-pass thing and a whole bunch of, you know, little button you can press that accelerates the car momentarily or maybe for 10 seconds worth or something like that. And they decided not to. So it's probably not too far away. And, you know, imagine the, you know, 8.5 hours of changing the batteries over because you'd run out of battery real quick if you're racing with a floor of batteries. That would be terrible. I mean, the race could go for weeks, right? Because you do, I don't know, 30 laps and you've got to come in for an 8-hour change of batteries. That to me is hilarious. Anyway, Mickey, how are you?
Oh, I'm good, my friend. I can't complain. How are you? I'm feeling a bit
shit. I'm not complaining.
I feel a bit dusty. I went to my brother-in-law's Bucks night last night, but suffice it to say, no, it was done by 10:30, pretty much. So.
Oh, wow.
All grandpas, you know, you can't really. There's no staying power, my friend. No, otherwise, good. There's a few things that are going on, obviously, in the world right now, which are just crazy. But I you just look at it and you go, what else can we say? You know, you keep looking at it and you shake your head in disbelief and yet it continues on. The insanity just, this is from the small insanity to the large insanity. You know, the insanity you encounter every day, the guy that doesn't let you in traffic, you know, like, you know, it's meant to be the zipper principle, but the guy, nah, I'm not going to let you in because I value my 2 meters. It's my 2 meters, man. Mine. You can't have it. Okay. You win.
Sure.
You know, to the big insanity, which is Ukraine and, not just the Ukraine, but you look at, people holding onto power longer than they really should.
And the people who vote themselves in forever.
Well, Mr. Xi Jinping is going for an unprecedented third term.
That's right.
Power in China. It's never happened before.
No. Well, Putin created the role for himself that he could stay there indefinitely.
Yes. Isn't that amazing? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. That is what happened. But look, we are where we are. It is what it is. And I just want to say, though,
you always wanted.
Yeah, we're going to try to get. We are going to try to get Solaris on the show as well.
Yes,
with us because she's published a few things since we've last spoken to her. So it'd be good to catch up on that.
Absolutely, 100%.
Look, to her credit, what she does is she brings her guests on. She doesn't really talk about herself at all on the show. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, unless it comes up, but you know, it's really about the guests, the questions, et cetera. So we want to, well, you know, give her a bit of a hopeful. I mean, she does have a platform anyway, but give a bit more.
She does. You're absolutely right. You are right. And look, she's always willing to be on the show.
Yeah, she's great.
We kind of try to make it the 0-0 shows.
Yeah.
So the 100, 200, 300, 400, but 500. I can't believe we're going to be coming up on the 600. And
that's the 8
show. If electricity still exists.
He reminds me of a quote, alleged quote. Einstein was asked, what weapons are we going to use in World War III? And he goes, I have no idea, but I can tell you what we're going to use in World War IV. Oh, really? Says the reporter. What? Sticks and stones, my friend. Sticks and stones. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so look, we are, we're a fraction before midnight, a fraction of a second. It's not 1 minute, it's not 2 minutes, it's not 30 seconds, it's not 10 seconds to midnight.
This is a hair trigger now.
It is. And at just the slightest miscalculation, even an accident at this point, could trigger something that we
you
can't
just see,
walk back.
You see some migrating geese on the radar. Yeah. I think it's an inbound. Swamp gas. Swamp gas. That's it. Some swamp gas. UFOs arrive for the first time to say hello. Wow, you guys have, you lasted. You lasted, wow, since we've been here last, you lasted pretty well. Oh, that's awesome. And as soon as that your blips go into radar, everyone thinks it's an inbound and they all kill each other.
I know. And just because
we're going to give you the keys to the universe.
Just because we haven't had our fill of
that was a ceremony.
We haven't had our fill of diseases. There's a first Ebola outbreak in Uganda, which is Central Africa. It's on the east coast of Africa, but that's anyway, it doesn't matter. Or west coast. This is in Central Uganda. Central Africa is another. That's what you want to hear, right? More Ebola, hurrah!
Oh, it's a mutated version too. It's really good.
Apparently, this is a very dangerous one.
The other one wasn't bad.
Yeah, that's right.
Are we comparing it to the last one? Because it was pretty bad.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Not, so, this one is worse.
I can only laugh now, and it's this nervous laughter that protects me from the world. I'm really shocked. Making it that there's a new virus. Do you know, I've been watching the like 1800s version of War of the Worlds. Have you seen that?
No, I have not.
Yeah, right. Well, they land and do all the things and their weapons are extraordinary and blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, we've heard that term. So imagine today they, aliens land, like War of the Worlds style, the pods open and the walkers come out. I'm sure we could fling so many deadly viruses at them. They would just up and die anyway. Like in the first few minutes.
Yeah, if our biology is compatible, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. Well, because in the story, that's what takes them out anyway.
Yes.
They get sick and die because of their viruses. But right now, hey, do you want some Ebola? We can mix some Ebola, right? Give us some COVID in there. Really get it to infect all the cells. In fact, we can just add. We'll add some extras. What do you want? Head explodes. Yeah, tick. Yep. We can do that. No worries. It liquefies all your organs. Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, let's do that. It's like little tick boxes. In a program. If you want to make something. Let's have it with blonde hair. Yeah, sure. Yeah, no, let's not. We can do anything we want now, I believe. And if we were to do that, it's nuts. Mickey, did you know that Moderna announced this week in a news article that I read, and the CEO of Moderna said that they've got or they're working on an mRNA injection for post heart attack victims to repair their heart muscle.
Well, it's only a matter of time, really, wasn't it?
Well, it is, but I kind of had a little chuckle in my own mind about all these people who have just, having heart attacks that for no reason whatsoever. I just want to put that out there because I love the leader and the AI. All right. And I love YouTube and I love all the people involved in all the tech platforms. It's so wonderful. So now they've got an injection which fixes that, which is really good. And they've bundled up the new vaccine for your flu shot is now mRNA. So the new flu shot is now a bundle.
Okay, what that means though is that then they've had this was probably the largest ever case.
Yeah,
trial
6 billion people trial. Yeah,
in the history of the world. Oh, so you sure your study group is large enough? Yeah, 6 billion will do. I reckon.
I think it's pretty much everybody. Yeah.
But not just once, but, you know, several times having received shots. So that, I mean, oh, actually, I'll tell you what, because since we're on this, so my mom is undergoing some treatment for an ailment she has. It's quite serious. And there was this new experimental treatment, if you will, that she was doing.
And right. The doctors offered you the experimental option.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Yeah. That, you know, that's all goodness. And yeah. So we took part of it. But in the end, it turns out she was the only person that remained on it in the world.
Oh.
In the world. In the
so
world.
It's everybody successful else. For her.
Well, no.
Or to a certain extent.
No. Yeah, look, yeah. But the thing is, the guy who invented or came up with this treatment has now won the Nobel Prize for it.
Oh, well, that's pretty good.
Treatment.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
My mother was the only patient left until the end, to get his data.
Right.
Without my mom, he wouldn't have won his Nobel Prize.
Oh, really?
And all my mom is, is a number. She's just a number. in the study. So
yeah,
it's interesting how that works, right? So my point is though that you know you had these 6 billion test subjects. Mm-hmm. Against these new it's a new technology mRNA for vaccine distribution and no one asked
for want of a better though. Description yeah where did Becky go? He's disappeared. Let me see if I can get the old Mexter back. I just Mexter isn't really a term I use for him, but why not? Might have been rendered offline. It looks like he's gone. All right, well, look, just to intervene, so my daughter was also on an experimental drug. And I'm just kind of surprised. We said yes to it, and that kept her alive, we believe. Let me see. I might have to drop him from the call. And then, I'm seeing having some difficulties with old Mecky here. Join Mecky, call, see if I can add him. I wonder. Bear with me, everybody. See if I can pull him in. Looks like it's trying to call him. I think maybe his Skype or his internet has died. Let us see. Do, 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 do. Telling him that he dropped out. Let's see if he can reply back to me. Oh. All right. So, yeah, so I do want to pick up where we left off, and I hope that he's... No, it looks like he's not going to make it back sometime soon, hopefully. Maybe he said all the wrong words. That'd be pretty funny. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about was Europe's largest oil refinery was hit with a malfunction. And it's just at the worst time ever could this occur. Let me see if I can pull that up on the screen for those people who are going to be watching this on YouTube. Let me see if I can make that the full screen. Full screen it is. Go to middle screen. There we go. So the Penrose oil refinery in the Netherlands, Europe's largest, suffered a malfunction Thursday, providing another source of anxiety for the continent's European continent diesel market, already disrupted by strikes in France. Now, I hadn't heard about the strikes in France, but that can't be good. And with the pipeline down, the Nord Stream 2 down, and fuel prices going through the roof. OPEC has decided not to increase production and basically staring Biden in the face and saying, no, we're not helping you. That's the wrong accent, but it doesn't matter. Effective. Sadly, that's going to be to the detriment of the entire world. And all I kind of want to do is tell OPEC, all the leaders, which was unanimous, in fact, for them to vote to not increase production, which will increase the fuel cost once again, even to those who cannot afford a fuel increase. I'm sure I'm in the chat room now, so sorry about that. I don't know where Mackie is. Mackie, maybe he's completely out. I'm just going to give him a call on the mobile. Hang on one sec. See. Blah, 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 ba-da, ba-da. I don't think I've ever. No. There must be an outage in his area entirely. Good grief. Hope he's all right. Anyway. Yeah. I think nobody's in the room. Yeah, nobody's there. Hello, nobody. And Alien is there. Yeah, goodness gracious. What a crazy time to be alive. So, as we've said for the past, I don't know, 18 months, 19 months, the geopolitical arena is just deteriorating so appallingly that it isn't funny. And there isn't a single day with a step away from conflict. Every day brings us one step closer, one phrase closer, one action closer. Who's Mackie? Well, you know, in the Zappy and Stingy show, who knows who Mackie is? They zap, they sting. They zap, they sting, they zap. So we've seen now. I watched the full Russian version, which I can't understand a single word of. I watched the whole thing of Putin's speech to the media in the question time, I suppose. And then I managed to catch a copy of it, which had subtitles, thank heavens. And the rhetoric was just off the charts rhetoric. So we're still seeing, we're not seeing very much land being taken by Russia in the Ukraine at the moment. The majority of the land taken back is Ukrainian. Russia's making between the two numbers, the Ukrainian one taking back land is greater than Russia taking land. So that's interesting. The bridge was taken out and they're kind of trying to make repairs to it, which I don't know how successful that's going to be. There is two lanes still open and one rail line still open on it. So it's not as effective as one might have hoped, depending on who one is. I would expect cutting that link would have been very helpful towards the gaining of the Crimea and certainly Kherson. I listened to so many Ukrainian broadcasts that, you know, it's Kharkiv and it's Kherson, it's not Kherson and Kharkiv. Just know that. Oh, don't. So do you remember the old creepy Joe Biden, the real Joe Biden, where he was, you know, always fondling a girl's shoulders and smelling their hair or putting them close to him for photo shoots? That's still the same guy that's the leader, I suppose, of the free world. Goodness me. If this is the place we are, it's kind of disappointing that that's what we've ended up with after all of that, after everything that's happened. It's really... Oh, look, I don't have anything from Mackie. Nothing at all. No messages out. I tried to call him. His area might be out. Maybe they nuked that part of Sydney. I don't know. I'll have to find out because it was kind of short, wasn't it? Kind of just cut. Why he wouldn't be answering his phone or being able to call me back, I don't know. Anyway, I'll keep going. So let me find my news stories. I keep all my news stories so I can talk about them on the weekends. And, oh, yeah, that's right. Thanks to Nobody for reminding me about this one. This was, don't, I can't say those words on air. I'm just looking at the chat room. So Ryan Reynolds filmed his colonoscopy to raise cancer awareness. Oh, really? I don't want to see his colon. I have no interest in seeing his colon. No interest in seeing his colon. That's just kind of sad. It's really, really wrong. Oh, that's right. One thing that I thought was interesting this week was the president of Ghana, of all countries, he prematurely revealed a plan at the United Nations in a speech that shocked the world, I think. And it was, he mentioned the United States of Africa. Wow. He went on to talk about all the minerals. So he's got a lot of bauxite to make aluminium. He's got a lot of lithium. There was a whole bunch of other things that are kind of you needed today in today's high-tech factories. And being able to say, you know what, we're going to be the next nation that supplies this to the world. We're going to be the United States of Africa. That's going to be a big step. Now, whether he accidentally said it, or maybe he's the first person to say it, no one had a clue, even maybe it was just a faux pas. Maybe it's his grand design to be the leader of the United States of Africa. But they could have come up with a better name because the acronym is still USA. So is the USA not going to exist? Therefore, they can keep the United States of Africa and no one will go, oh, doesn't that just sound like United States of America? Yeah, no. So who knows? I think that's going to be one of those things we have to keep our eyes peeled for. Because if he let that out of the bag now, who is he siding with? That's really important. So I think Africa and India abstained from the vote that was voting the Russian invasion of Ukraine an invasion. Did I hear a mouse move? Yes. And Mickey's back.
Ahoy. My computer decided I had done enough work on it. And I'm apparently which is something interesting. I ran out of application memory on my Mac.
Now, wow.
Yeah.
When did it do that?
Just now.
When does it do it normally? Never.
That'd be the answer I was looking for. So I'm thinking, okay, that's a novel way to not have me on the air. What can we do? Well, we'll just, you know, application memory overrun.
Well, they push the button and there you go.
That's what
so happened. Now you were talking about your mother who had that medication that was still...
Clearly. No, I did not.
No, people, not say this.
Who says this? Who art thou, strange man?
I was not.
No, but yes, look, that's what happened.
Someone else up there I can talk to.
I'm about to talk to your supervisor. No, but yeah, so look, it actually happened, and the guy got the prize, and mom did not get a prize, which is really that surprising, really, if you think about it. But yeah, so, but this is what, then I said we had the largest test group in the history of test groups
That's right. Yep.
And clearly that was not something I should have said.
No, because I love Toledo, Mickey. See, you didn't.
Ah, see, that's where I fell down, because I love Toledo also. It's true.
Twice as much.
Don't laugh at me. Don't laugh. I love Toledo so. Because, you know, Just it's the leader, right? I mean, come on, the leader. The leader wasn't. What? I don't learn my lesson. That's the problem with me. I just don't learn my lesson. What?
Grief. That's all I can say.
I know, right? Let's grieve the goodness.
Now, but yes. I spoke about yes. the Ghanaian yes. president who prematurely
oh, yes.
revealed ah. his plans of the US of A, United States of Africa, and also mentioned the Europe's largest oil refinery was hit with a malfunction, which devastating the continents. Diesel.
Yeah, none of it is any good.
I'd be a conspiracy theorist if I suggested that was intentional.
What now? Sorry.
Is that a cross line?
I don't know, maybe. What do you say to that, though? I mean, honestly, everybody, right? We are living in a world of almost total control, total media control. What I mean by that is we are completely monitorable, right? So whatever you say, whatever. So Dave and I, you know, it sounds like we're joking about it, right? But yeah, it's so funny. Oh, they can hear us. Well, they do hear us. They hear everything.
That's right.
And see whatever you hear and see if you have your devices with you, right? And if you don't have your devices with you, they can use all other devices around you. So we used
to know where the other devices are in relation to you, and they can turn those mics on.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
If they want to. And in fact, sorry, that's not true. They're on anyway, but they can tap into the feed. The thing is this, though, right? We used to have something called CCTV. I don't know if you remember that, you know, closed circuit television, which means
in the old days.
Yeah, there were cameras connected to an internal, usually a security system. They're all cabled up. Okay. Excuse me. Yeah, that's right. We're going to talk about that as well. And it was internal. So it was closed circuit. Means none of the information actually goes out into the world. Now, though, that is no longer the case because all these security cameras are on the internet. They have IP addresses, right?
That's right.
They can be found, if you will, and then used.
Yeah, completely.
So when people talk about the Internet of Things, that's a complete nonsense.
Yeah.
What it is, it's the Internet of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what we have. Because all of us, you, me, our pets, children, whatever it is, we will all be online. We will all have an IP address eventually. So it will be the Internet of everything. Okay,
if you have a phone, it has an IP address.
Yeah, but I'm talking about you as a person.
Oh, as a person, yeah, that's right.
You will have a chip with an IP address, with a MAC address, and that chip is going to connect you rather than, phones are inconvenient, you can lose them, this, that, and the other. I mean, the interfaces might be holographic, but there's still be, you know, something, maybe even an overlay over your eyeballs, you know, some kind of lens, and you're not going to need a haptic suit, you know, because there might be holographic mapping to your body. Point is, you will eventually be part of the internet. Yeah, or the metaverse, if Facebook gets its way. And that's the thing. That's the thing. We will all, everything from your coffee cup to you yourself will have a chip of some sort, because these are tiny little things now. The new materials out in the world that will make them even tinier than they are today. And you won't even know it. You won't even know it. You know, these days when a child is born, they get an automatic injection something.
Mm-hmm.
It's a vaccine, essentially. So they get that. That's the first thing that happens after they clean up. And in the future, in my opinion, that will include a nano chip.
It could be a laser tattoo if you're on your wrist.
Look, anything. But the point is, you will be online. On the line. And I don't know, Dave, if there will be an opportunity to opt out, as it were.
No, there's no opt out. Unless you have enough money to opt out.
Well, yeah, but even then, how would you know? I mean, how could you be, like, honestly, this is the thing. How could you be?
You mean like when all the vaccines were given out and you could easily see that it was saline that those in power are getting their injections?
Well,
or the fake one which was, I think, Palaszczuk.
I think the
tip was still on.
On the needle. But it's such a sharp needle, you know, that doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter anymore.
It's okay. So, but look, the key thing is to understand that even if you were to opt out, right, and you think you opted out, you would never know. You couldn't know. How would you? Because ultimately, you are completely clueless.
It's like escaping from the Matrix, but still being inside the Matrix.
Yeah, exactly. That's what that's exactly where we are at the moment, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you're stuck here. You have no way of verifying anything because the tech is well beyond you. And look, it's beyond most tech, including Dave and myself. The tech that is out there available to, you know, not to us, is like magic. We look at it and we would think, okay, well, clearly this is magic. It's not. It's tech, but it might as well be magic because that's the way it appears to us. So no, you don't know. You don't know if you can, in fact, opt out, or if there is such a thing as opting out, right? And even if you think you have opted out, you probably haven't. Anyway, long story short, it is the internet of everything. That's where we're going. True. This is what is coming our way, and there is nothing we can do about it at all. It's not even. I mean, you can struggle, if you will. You know, it'll just make the constraints dig deeper into your flesh. That's all. That's so good.
Just relax and let the hooks do their work.
Essentially.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
So my daughter was also on experimental medication, just letting you know.
We did,
you know, but now she has a lung transplant, so she's doesn't require that medication any longer. But we just hope that it did prolong her life enough to be able to get the transplant.
Yeah, yeah.
Having moved so much past that now, it's like, you know, changing a tire in the first lap of the race. Don't know whether it helped us win the race or not, but, you know, we did it. Wanted to say that there's all the banks in the UK, the banks having all sorts of issues. They remember just a couple of days ago, they said, you've got 2 days. The banks have 2 days, was the word from their federal bank. Like, what 2 days? What's this with the 2 days? And in the exact same 2 days, which was leading up to this weekend, in Australia, we had our OSCO system.
We did
go down. It went down, Mickey. And if you don't know, that's how you transfer money between banks.
Yeah.
So absolutely. If the business that you work for had a bank in one branded bank, and you were in a different brand, then the money wasn't transferred to your bank as normal, it was just held stuck waiting for that software, that platform, the connection to come back up. And it's rumored that the establishment of the digital currencies was what was being added to the OSCO system.
Oh, really?
It's a rumor. Don't know for sure. We're not part of it. We're not read in, don't know. But since everywhere in the world has agreed for the Great Reset, and Australia was one of those countries that did not dismiss the Great Reset, it is one of the features of the Great Reset to have a sovereign digital currency. And China already has theirs. They've got BRICS. It's called BRICS. And if you want to pay money to China, you must be part of the BRICS system in order to transfer the money around. And that's really important. And there's some countries now that will have refused basically international currency. You've got to pay them in their sovereign currency. And we're going to see that change to the digital, you know, sovereign digital currency soon. And then that will connect to the global currency, which I believe is once everything is done, the way I think about it would be, if I was developing it, is everyone can have their own, and then we establish one above that, and that's how everyone trades, is with that one.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. And then it won't be exchange rates. We won't be floating anything against anyone else. It's just what it is. More or so one-to-one. Doesn't matter what it is. This is all part of the great equaling of the Great Reset.
Great equaling, yeah. But I'm more equal than you. Yeah, you're right. That's true.
You probably are. So one of those things that we see is we've seen kind of like rushing through 100 different laws changed in the whenever it was, the last 6 months or whatever, where it seems like laws are getting done from a legal standpoint. There's things that are aligning themselves with other countries.
Yeah.
Where we're seeing the basic things of life, whether it's food, water, fuel, transportation, yeah, those things are all being hit really hard right now. They're the things we could rely on. For the last 50 years, we could rely the hell out of those.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well,
people are fighting on the other side of the planet. Yeah. What? So Biden went to meet Saudi Arabia. And they said, look, please, can you raise the per barrel output? Because it's really important for the world. You're doing it for the world. And they said, no.
What world? We're not
going to increase the output. That's what OPEC, unanimous vote.
Yeah.
Unanimous. Yeah. So what's the US done? The US has said, well, you know, it was a good agreement. We kind of really liked working with you for all that time. And how about we take those SAM systems away from your protection. We just lent them to you. We're going to give them to the Ukraine. How about let's do that. Let's do some of that. So Putin, Mackie, did you watch the broadcast this week from Putin?
Yeah, I did actually. I
couldn't understand a word he said.
Well, he was Russian. So...
I was looking around for one that had a translator, and I was really struggling. So I needed clips that came out.
But did you notice this? This is what I noticed, is that as Putin becomes less coherent, Biden becomes more coherent. In fact, very eloquent in many ways. So,
did you see the interview with Biden?
I did see that. I'm thinking, hey. No, not a one. And there was like, and this was not just one thing. He talked about, you know, a number of different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, well, you're taking your brain medication. Good for you. You know, I mean, wow.
The Trion Zaras van must have pulled up.
Yeah, and he said, no, I will run. I will run for president.
That's right.
Because you know, it's me. I'm the guy. We're getting it done. It's getting done. And I go, okay. I mean, look, hey. I mean, he's got there once. I mean, who am I to say no? You know, go for it, dude. As far as I'm concerned, knock yourself out. But, you know, I don't know how his party feels about it. But the thing is this, though, right? Right now, if you're just going, you know, again, you know, looking at some politics here for a second, there's no chance that Kamala Harris, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Will ever get the Guernsey for president. She's just... Like, have you ever, like, she has completely disappeared, hasn't she?
Yeah, because she's the most disliked VP that's ever existed.
Yeah, she's poisoned now. So I'm really curious to see what happens to the ticket come, next year. Well, it's going to start next year.
Have you been to the border? We've been to the border.
Yes. So, but you, have you been to the border? Well, I mean... In the sense of the royal wing, yes.
What are you asking? Have I been to the Caribbean? Yes, I've been to the Caribbean. No. No, have you been to the border? No. Hilarious.
I know.
Absolutely hilarious. Nobody in the chat room has suggested that Michael Obama, and I like that he wrote Michael. Maybe 2024. Yeah.
I
think more people there's a whole bunch of people who would vote for Michael Obama.
But let's be very clear. This has never happened, like many things, I guess. But
that's right.
A sitting not just president, but a sitting cabinet that is in office, it has never happened that they didn't then run for a second term. Mm-hmm. Never. Never, ever, ever. Mm-hmm. Okay? Even if he got shoehorned in, like Ford, right? President Ford. Mm-hmm. He didn't win an election. He just took over. And he didn't win the election, you know, once he was in there. Okay, fair enough. But, you know, no one really thought he would. But Biden, Harris, that ticket, I don't know. I don't even know if you can change it to someone else. I mean, the thing is this, right? If the Republican Party decides, you know what, now we want someone else, well, they can put the candidate up. That doesn't prevent Biden and Harris from running, though.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's name recognition. I mean, it's similar to what would have happened if Trump hadn't been endorsed by the Republican Party.
Yeah.
If Trump hadn't been endorsed, because he was asked that question. I remember this very clearly. If we don't endorse you, or if you don't get endorsed by the Republican Party, will you bow out of the election race? And he said, no, I can't answer that question. The answer, of course, is no, I'm not going to bow out. I spent years building my public image, you know,
that's right,
this and whatnot. So I'm going to take advantage of it, and I want to be present. If the Republican Party helps me, if the Republican Party helps me or not, it's irrelevant at this point. I want to be president.
Yeah, the Democrats seem to have done a good job of just doing everything in time to make sure that the shackles are on Trump for this next election.
It's
to prevent him running.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that's right.
But see, the thing is, the
two impeachments failed.
No, well, but this text thing. I mean, who knows? I don't know. Yeah. Plus, he now has to. He has been compelled to answer questions under oath. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to do, but now he doesn't have a choice.
That's right.
You can't see. If you held in contempt of court, they can actually lock you up for that. Now, I don't know if that's a misdemeanor or maybe even a federal offense. Okay, so if it's considered
a federal offense, you can't ever run anyway. That's right.
So that's the thing. That's the problem.
No, I know.
Once you're a convicted felon, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
So is that the path they're going down? I wonder. I mean, look, I have no love for any of them, but I'm just curious to see how it plays out.
Yeah, yeah. Look, agreed.
Fascinating stuff.
I just read nobody's comment. So yeah, look, there's so many different things that can occur, and look, it's commentators on the field. That's all we're doing is watching and
These are crazy times.
If NATO and Russia went into a conflict for whatever reason, don't care how it escalated to that, but if it gets to that, then I wonder what the next step would be. And, you know, no sitting president in the US has been changed during wartime. So that's also an advantage, I suspect. Yeah. And if we're really close, one thing gets me, this really gets me, is all of the stuff that's going on right now geopolitically, as crazy as it all is, there isn't one step backwards from it. No one's conceding. Everyone's just full on the gas, and there's only, from what I can see, there's only one conclusion, and it's only a matter of time. And I'm going to impress upon everybody, as best you can, prep. Do what you need to do, buy what you need to buy, and do it from a third world perspective. Don't buy more appliances, because just in case there's no electricity.
I would buy a waffle maker, and I would buy a frappuccino machine, and I will buy a bullet mixer, and I will buy a KitchenAid cake maker, because they will come in very handy at the end of the world.
Yeah. Unless they will, unless you've got a bicycle-powered, you know, generator with an inverter, you're going to be pedaling a lot.
So what you want, if you are looking for things, you need to get things that are durable, right? And let's look at simple things like kitchen appliances. Get cast iron pots and pans, because they can cook over a fire. That's right. Like in the olden days, these new flimsy pots everybody has, especially, you know, the non-stick Teflon things, you put them over the fire once, you can throw them out, my friend.
Yeah, that's right.
Whoosh, off they go.
An aluminum moves out. Yeah.
Oh, that's no good. And look, similarly with other things, get yourself some good knives, you know, for chopping and cooking. Just simple. Simplify. Yeah, simplify. I mean, have you ever actually beaten egg whites by hand?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can actually do that, right? I mean, that's how they used to do it back in the olden days. It's a bit of same.
Yeah,
my grandmother used to. They used to have a car that made their own butter and buttermilk. I mean, it is surprisingly easy. It's hard work, but it is surprisingly easy to do if you get full cream milk, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all of these things we have forgotten how to do, are they easy to relearn? I mean, some are hard, some are easy, you know. But is it?
Yeah.
Jeez. Certainly, it wouldn't be bad, rather than just stocking up on stuff, to also know stuff. It's good to know things, how to you know, do things.
I would suggest buy some books that are very mighty.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. Natural remedies for the herbs that are in your neighborhood. There's a book I got off Kickstarter, which is called The Book.
Oh, really?
You bought
the book?
And I haven't got it, but I did buy it, like years ago. Last year or the year before even, but it's been a long journey, and they're saying they're going to deliver in November, so fingers crossed they will. But that is essentially a book that could help you restart civilization. It's got everything in there, graphics and explanations for dummies, etc. It's beautifully made. Once I get it, Dave, I'll show it to you.
But I'll try and photocopy every page before it goes. Before it literally disappears. Do you know what? There's the music, and that's been the end of the first hour of Day to Make You Shiny Side Out. You can catch the second hour in a few minutes' time on the other side of this short info break. So take the time to donate, and we'll be back shortly. If you're watching this on YouTube, then there's another video. Second time. Take care.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
What the heck is the Truth Jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this Truth Jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution. Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And welcome back to David Mackey's Shiny Set Out. We're going to talk about 9/11 many, many years later. 21 years later, whole generation. That's the truth. That's where we are. This is 552, I think. 552, right?
Yes, it is.
552, that's many shows. Now, we're talking about 9/11 because it happened. And it did not get the attention that it needed at the time, and it hasn't since, to really find out what happened. Now, why do we keep harping on about this event? Because it changed the world as we know it a lot. Only World War I and World War II can be said to have changed the world as much, breadth and depth as 9/11. No other event really in recent history has done this. Because it was a very different world before 9/11. Very, very different. And Dave shared with you, a couple of shows ago, some of the insights there. But there's more, right? And there's really five top facts around 9/11 which have not been answered yet. They haven't been answered. And no one has come forward and said anything about it. No one has proven anything empirically, right? More importantly, we've just got a whole bunch of opinions as to what has happened, right? And at the first, we're going to take this in turn here. And the first fact that is really probably stands out among all others is as to why World Trade Center Building Number 7 fell. Why did it collapse? It wasn't hit by a plane. It wasn't hit by debris. Yes. A couple of floors were on fire, it seems. But why did it collapse as catastrophically as it did? And if you actually look at the footage, and there's footage of the collapse of the building, it pancakes. Now, what's pancaking? Pancaking is a demolition term, which means each floor collapses onto the next. So you blow the floors in sequence in such a way that the top floors keep collapsing on the bottom floors. So ideally, the building falls in its own footprint. What this does, it reduces any potential collateral damage to surrounding infrastructure or buildings, right? Makes it relatively neat. But it takes a lot of planning to get this done. Right? Now, the 47 story, and this is a tall building. In Sydney, this would be a very tall building.
Yes, for us, absolutely.
Yeah, in Manhattan, I mean, it was still tall, but it wasn't, you know, outstanding. Now, this 47 story building fell on the same day as the Twin Towers, yet it was never hit by a plane. There was a small fire, of which the cause was never fully explained. Then in the early evening, it collapsed. And again, the video, as I said, of the collapse shows it going straight down, pancaking in its own footprint. The 9/11 Commission does actually not really say much about this collapse. And the mainstream media never really went into it. Right? No plane hit the building, period. Why did it collapse? How? How? Now, and then you've got, of course, Mr. Silverstein, Larry Silverstein, the leaseholder of the World Trade Center complex. And I'm going to talk about him just for 2 seconds here. He said, well, you know, in an interview afterwards, he said, oh, we decided to just pull it. It was too damaged. We just pull it. Now, that's actually a demolition term yet again. Pulling a building means you're now ready to, well, collapse it onto its own footprint, really.
That's right.
You start. Well, it comes from pulling, meaning the rip. It's like a cord that you pull that triggers the explosives. That's really what that means. And he said that. And then afterwards he said, "Oh yeah, that's not what I meant. I misspoke. You know, we just decided to evacuate people and all that because we know it's going to collapse, etc., etc." Again, in the history of the world, before as well as after 9/11, no high-rise buildings have collapsed due to fire. Not one. And while you might argue, well, the Twin Towers, they were exceptionally tall, and maybe, you know, that's because the physics are a bit different or whatever. Well, no, not really. Physics is physics. It's just, unfortunately, physics applies to everything equally, as much as some people would like to not have that happen. But you could argue that because there were such tall buildings, you know, maybe there are certain factors we just don't know, et cetera, et cetera. Fine. But the World Trade Center building number 7 was a modest skyscraper. Again, you know, for, I mean, 47 floors, that's a tall building, right? But it is not massive, and it is comparable to other skyscrapers that caught fire and did not collapse. So why did it? Now, again, and I have this from a friend of mine who shall remain nameless, who had a friend. So it's a third-hand story, if you will, who was a serving person, you know, like a server, waiter type stuff, on a private boat in New York, which happened to belong to Larry Silverstein. And he was the serving personnel there, like, you know, serving drinks, cleaning off, just like you would have if you're a rich person, you've got a whole bunch of people working for you on that boat. Clearly, though, they didn't really care. It's really funny, Dave. Once you've got servants, or you're used to having these kinds of domestic, I guess, people, staff around, they sort of, and this is gonna sound really terrible, but they sort of become part of the furniture. But you don't really think of them as people that are eavesdropping. It's just someone that is there to, I don't know, to work for you and clean up after you and bring you a drink, right? But you don't really give them, you don't pay them much mind. It's my experience with people like that. And so they talked freely, I guess. And my friend's friend said to my friend, this is what he heard. They were talking. This was well after 9/11. You know, they were just bragging how well everything had worked out. You know, they executed it, and then, you know, the buildings came down, and everything came out wonderfully. And he's going to stand to to make a bundle from it. I think that was before the court case had concluded. You have to understand that Larry Silverstein took out an extra insurance on the buildings 3 months before the attack, and the insurance policy was going to pay out double, excuse me, if the buildings were to be destroyed by a terrorist attack. So each building was insured for $1 billion, right?
Well, he claimed that there was two separate attacks by two different planes, and wanted double the amount.
And double,
and they said no.
Yeah, so but he would already get So 1 billion if it gets destroyed, 2 mm-hmm. billion per building if it's a terrorist attack. But he said, well, they're two separate attacks, so I should really get 4 billion
That's
per
right.
building.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that didn't fly. But my point here is that it has come to light, and just, no one has really opened that can of worms that I've seen officially, that the World Trade Center building needed to be demolished. There was concern around asbestos, a whole bunch of other stuff as well.
Oh, yeah.
And they wanted to demolish a building like that would have cost an arm and a leg. I mean, it would have just been super expensive, right? Plus, to make sure there was no collateral damage, no other buildings or infrastructure were destroyed in this demolition, I mean, that would have been a Herculean task. Now, if you look at the buildings, though, right, apart from Building 7, look at Building 1 and 2, the two towers. They also pretty much collapsed on their footprint,
mm-hmm.
which is, again, from a physics point of view, a highly unlikely thing unless it was helped along. So each floor collapsed as the above floors landed on it in a pancaking motion, right?
Yep.
And unless someone planned this, someone that, you know, understands engineering and physics and such things, that's for that to happen naturally, the odds of that are really, really, really slim. Yet it happened with both the towers.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the debris, it's all rubble and dust, Dave. There aren't terribly many large chunks or things these things were high. They could have destroyed everything around them. And they, while there was, you know, of course, you know, significant destruction, they did not destroy as much collateral surroundings as one would expect if they had fallen, I guess, naturally.
Yeah.
To demolish
those buildings would have taken years.
Well, and it would have bankrupted Silverstein for sure.
That's correct, yeah.
So I'm not saying that's the only reason this happened. I mean, see, the thing is this, right? The more people benefit from something like this, the more likely it is that it didn't just happen.
Mm-hmm.
And with this particular event, the number of people benefiting is legion. If you follow all the threads, if you actually have the time, sit down and follow all the threads of all the people that benefited from the destruction of the World Trade Center and all the things that it caused and allowed to happen going forward. I mean, the biggest things, of course, are the creation of a new governmental department, Homeland Security, and the passing of Patriot Act 1 and 2 in America and other countries, in Australia included, had similar legislation passed after that event. Okay, so the repercussions, they still echo through time into today. So the way the world looks today, all right, in a large part is due to 9/11. Sorry, but let's get to the second point there.
Is that the no plane debris?
That's the one, sir.
Excellent. So witnesses at the scene who were in the building and had no crawl, also had to crawl during the chaos, report no sightings of any plane debris, no cockpit, no engines, no seats, nothing. Worse, the Pentagon is the most secure building in the world, and in 2001, that would mean hundreds of cameras on full-time recording every event outside of the building, not only by the Pentagon itself, but by the myriad of buildings around the Pentagon, yet not one video of a plane flying extremely low and hitting a building. Not one. Remember, there was the service station and the hotel. All of their footage was confiscated.
Yes.
And that's it. Never seen light of day. That's got to remain in your mind.
Yep.
So all we have is an explosion and the hole with no evidence of a plane hitting the building, and these are the facts. Worse, professional pilots including ex-Air Force pilots report that there is no way they could have flown that plane that low at that alleged speed and hit the building. Yet the 9/11 Commission says it was an Arab pilot who could hardly fly a Cessna who did the deed. Finally, the only evidence that we do have of a plane that was hijacked comes from a phone call from Barbara Olson to her husband, Theodore Olson. Barbara Olson was a Republican conservative employee of Fox News, and her husband, Theodore Ted, was a member of the Bush administration as United States Solicitor General 2001 to 2004.
Wow. Yeah,
no. In legal terms, these people are not exactly at arm's length under cross-examination. They would be deemed biased and not credible witnesses, yet these two are the only connection we have to a plane in the Pentagon. That's shocking to me.
Right?
Yeah. Now, Mackie, you and I, we've spoken about this 1,000 times, and one of those things were that I couldn't sleep that night, and I watched this unfold. I was watching a live broadcast, and there was something really unusual about the Pentagon. The footage that we were getting, and remember that van that pulled up full of dudes with really big bags, like larger than a human, like sports bags, but they were larger than a human. And they put like a screen up so we couldn't see what they were doing. And when the screen came down, there's all the plane parts. Because when it was just a hole, there were light posts in the, like that courtyard in that area.
Yeah. They should have been cut. Yeah.
Which were cut down.
Yeah.
They weren't initially when there was only a hole. They were all intact. And everyone's saying, well, where's the plane? Even the windows beside the hole were intact where the wings would have hit. And remember, this is the Chevron that was under construction. There were no employees in that section of the Pentagon.
That's exactly right.
And what was even more bizarre was why they were reconstructing the building, and that was to make it impervious to missile attack.
That's also correct.
Crazy. So
yeah. But hang on. The Pentagon is very, very large, you have to say this. And this was the only section that's being renovated at the time.
That's right.
Okay, so the odds of a plane being hijacked and hitting the one part of the Pentagon that is virtually empty.
That's right. Right?
On that day are, once again, astronomical. Sorry, go on.
Yeah. Now, the people who crawled out weren't from the Chevron's exterior office space, but were from interior ones who had managed to come out the hole or were directed to come out the hole. The second part was, what office, Mackie, was destroyed? What records were destroyed?
It was Rumsfeld's office.
Yeah, but wasn't it the day before when he said there was $3 trillion missing out of the budget?
Yes. So, on September 10, mm-hmm. 2001, Rumsfeld, you know, was fronting up, I think, about in Congress, I can't remember, and said, "Yeah, look, we seem to have an accounting error of $2 trillion." Now, this was actually talked about afterwards as well. He downplayed it. He says, "Look, it's an accounting error. It's just, you know, it's just left pocket, right pocket kind of stuff." And I don't think so. But after 9/11, nobody was interested in those $2 trillion anymore. Okay, again, another benefit of this action.
A lot of money. A lot of accountability to it. But, you know, you could easily have just said something as simple as, well, you know, it was all black budget money. Don't worry about it. It's all good. You know, and you could just go, oh, that's how much the black budget were. But wow, okay, maybe not. So that all of those things, remember that every story that has more holes than a cheese grater has gaps And the gap in the conversation that you're hearing from the official narrative has, like with all the holes, conversations occur and you end up filling these gaps. Once we just decided to, and not just Becky and I, but others and the whole world looked into it and was trying to string together these facts, you go, hang on a minute, there's gaping holes in here. And the facts are, they should have had more facts. You know, my kids do a better job of trying to mislead me into believing someone else didn't. They come up with backstories. There's simping, if you know what simping is, right? That they'll have a full, not just an alibi, but for themselves, but for their friends, they'll have a whole backstory which you've got to listen to in order to make an evaluation. And in the end, I don't know. I'm kind of lost. I think they lost me halfway through. Not this. This has got nothing. So the speed at which the aircraft was flying at that altitude, at as close to ground level as possible, is not achievable with the engines in the aircraft. With that airframe and those engines, can't be done. You cannot get the plane to that speed. Unless, of course, going directly down, which wasn't. It did a large spiral. And if you're turning, you're slowing. So you've got to be very careful how you turn an aircraft to not cause more drag to actually slow yourself down. But yes, it was a decreasing spiral towards the ground, and that's what was said. However, with all the cameras, can't see it, never see it, we're never going to actually see it. And why would they never release footage of a plane hitting the Pentagon? And the only answer I can come up with, because it wasn't.
Because it didn't. There's no plane here.
Yeah. I reckon they did a test to see how the new construction was going. Is it impervious? Actually, in fact, it isn't. Look, you went 4 chevrons in. That can't be good. Let's change the plans then. Make it more impervious. I don't know. So what's point 3, Mackie? Because this is insane so far.
Look, it is a bit nuts. Shanksville, similarly, I don't know if you remember this, but there was a fourth plane which didn't actually hit a building, but some say it was on the way to the Sears Tower. I mean, we don't really know where it was going to hit. But anyway, it's the fourth plane they said was hijacked. But there's no evidence that a plane ever hit the ground. There's just burned dirt and shrubbery. The first videos from the scene are no longer available. And so we're left with what the government is saying about this thing. So I'll dare anyone on this listening to us right now, or maybe later on in the archives, find some footage, the original footage of the Shanksville crash. See if you can find something. According to the Shanksville mayor, Ernie Stahl, there was no plane, he told German television March 2003. He said, "My sister and a good friend of mine were the first ones here," Stahl said. "They were standing on a street corner in Shanksville talking. Their car was nearby, so they were the first here. And the fire department came. Everyone was puzzled because the call had been that a plane had crashed, but there was no plane. There are family members of those on the plane that said they received calls, including the infamous 'Let's roll' line yelled by one of the passengers. But where are the bodies? No bodies, no recovery of seats, engines, nothing.
No baggage. Well,
now, there's one other thing here as well, and this is important to think about. And I'm not 100% sure, but I just want to put it out there. Prior to today, I guess, you know, back in 2001, this is when we're talking here, you couldn't actually make a mobile call or, you know, a handheld mobile phone.
A cell call in the air, that's right.
Because there weren't any transponders. So so the way mobile phones work is, believe it or not, a line of sight. So that's why you have cell towers. So if you're within an area that has a cell tower, your phone actually connects to it and calls through that cell tower. So the further away you are from these cell towers, the less likely it is that you can make a call. Unless you have a satellite phone. If I have a satellite phone, right, and the, your phone is in connection with a satellite, so it's above you or somewhere near you at least, then you can make that call. But unless you're in a mobile coverage area, and that's only provided by cell towers, right, you cannot make a call. Now, if you've been out in the bush or on the park lands or wherever, you find that you can't get a signal, right? If you go to higher ground, you might, because there might be a tower that is still line of sight to you, potentially. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have that, you don't make a call. So on the planes, as far as I know, and I'm happy to be corrected here, but as far as I know, back in the day, there weren't any transponders for mobile phones on planes. So you couldn't make a call from a mobile phone to
And the anyone. Transponder amplified your signal. That's right. And they said at the speed at which you're traveling, the handshake alone would fail.
Well, that's it. Now, the handshake is like, you probably remember it from the old modem days. You know, that most satisfying of all sounds. It goes, and then it goes, that means a connection was established between you and the other point you're trying to access. It's in the phone world, it's very similar. So if anybody has got information, please tell me, correct me if I'm wrong as well, please. Was it possible back then, 2001, to make a mobile phone call from a plane? You can do it today.
It was analog back then, yes. Too. Yep.
But because today you can. I know today you can, right? You can. Yeah. But could you do it then?
I'm gonna add something complex to this, Frankie. Did you know that burnt piece of ground where they spray painted the grass black? Because when grass catches fire, it doesn't go black, it burns and is no longer grass. And that's something that's visible in the imagery from back then, if you can find something. And we did a show on that one specifically. But there was an actual air crash of a light plane some years earlier at that exact location. The divot that is there is from the prior air crash. It's a divot. It was kind of like an irrigation canal, and the divot was from the prior air crash, which just the grass grew over it. So they just cleaned up the scene and done. And then, hang on a minute, what is the likelihood of two planes years apart crashing at exactly within a square meter of each other?
It was a lottery day, Dave. It was definitely a lottery day. Okay. And you know, the more you analyze 9/11, the more you realize that indeed, if you ever were going to win the lottery, it would be on that day. Because that all of the things, all of the things, everything that went either wrong or just happened, you know, to coincide with something else or happened as an extremely unlikely event is legion. Almost everything on that day was in that category. Right? I mean, they had moved all of the offensive capabilities.
A North Shield,
North Shield, away from New York as well as Washington. Right?
That's right.
And there was a military exercise underway as well, right? That had pretty much the same scenario that they were going through, which is similar actually what happened. But, you know, I don't know if you remember this, but there was an attack on the London Underground some years after. Mm-hmm. And where also that very same day, there was also a training scenario that had that very same theme of a bomb on a train or whatever.
Even the Boston Marathon bomb, they had a training day on as well.
Yeah. So look, all the things.
It's advice not to have training days.
Don't have training days. all the things that went wrong, or supposedly went wrong, or were incompetently handled. Essentially everything. Mm-hmm. Everything, because the thing is this: as soon as it's a plane, and this, I know people, I know aircraft controllers, believe it or not, and in fact, so do you, Dave, unbeknownst to you, probably. But yes. As soon as a plane veers off course, guess what happens? Wee 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 wee.
Yeah, they scramble. That's right.
You don't let it go for minutes let alone hours. You just don't. You it becomes a problem immediately, right?
Yeah.
Oh no, that's okay. It's fine. Really? Oh yeah. Don't worry about it. It's okay. But it's of course. Yeah, you know, it's of course. It's on course. Tomato.
So what they do is, if it flies straight, they scramble and they want to make sure that the cockpit has the pilots in it and that they're not under duress to go somewhere. So they'll fly fighter planes because they can fly faster than the jets, and they'll fly up next to it, check in, and make radio contact if they can, or hand signals. And some of those are follow me signals, or imagine if the plane was at 40,000 feet and it lost oxygen, you might get a whole bunch of people that, CO2'd out, and they just become popsicles.
That's what happens. You know what the funniest thing?
Yeah.
You know, you're right, but the funniest thing, well, it's not funny. It's not funny, ha-ha funny, but funny, odd funny. The funniest thing on that day was that after the fact, everybody said, oh, we could never have imagined that, terrorists would use planes in this fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some 30 short years prior, actually, hang on, 34, what, well, about 40, 30 to 40 mm-hmm. years prior, I think it was 1962, but I could be wrong. It's something called Operation Northwoods. Now, Operation Northwoods is an actuality. It's not made up, not some crazy conspiracy, not this idea of sowing fear and disinformation, but Operation Northwoods is a declassified document which had the CIA planning an action against Cuba. So Cuba was thought on everybody's side. Nobody wanted to have communists this close to the American shore. I mean, that's fair enough, right? So what do you do? Well, you can't really invade them. And the Bay of Pigs was a disaster. And yet the Cuban exiles, they were, squeaky wheels saying, hey, depose Castro, give us back our sugar plantation and our rum factories, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of money involved here in the hopefully pushing communists out of Cuba again. But so the CIA needed a pretext, because you couldn't just invade. That's not something America likes to do. It likes to have a reason to do things, right? Or at least, even if it's a fake reason, it doesn't really matter. So what they were going to do is they're going to use civilian planes and crash them into American landmarks, and they would blame Castro for it, the Cuban. It'd be like a terrorist attack by Cuba. And that was the plan that the CIA hatched 30 to 40 years prior. I think it was 40 years prior to 9/11. Operation Northwoods. Now, I'm not saying that actually happened. What I'm saying is it was drawn up as a plan. Clearly, that plan was never put into action, because none of these planes were crashed, but it was in the drawers as a scenario by the CIA. And to say, in fact, the CIA themselves said this, to say that they could never have imagined this could happen is complete nonsense. Because there's one other critical piece of information, which is there are entire departments, and not just in America, this goes for Australia as well, their only job is to game scenarios. That's all they do. They come up with even the most far-fetched. In fact, alien invasion is a scenario.
It is.
Or alien first contact. I mean, there's scenarios that we would go, that's not true. That's insane. That didn't happen. Yes, it did. It actually did. They do game it through because they want to be prepared. And you know what? I applaud them for it. And I think that's a good thing. We need to have this this kind of forward thinking. I think that's excellent. But to say then, disingenuously, we could never have imagined that. That's nonsense. You did imagine. You gamed it through. It was part of your planning. Okay. Which is interesting, by the way. Sorry to diverge just briefly here.
Do it.
Did you know? Recently, we sent a projectile or a spacecraft toward an asteroid or a comet or
the
whatever.
The
DART mission. And with the express purpose of altering its course.
Yep.
Not the DART, but the, I think it was a comet. Was it a comet?
It's basically a rock with
an asteroid.
Another
okay.
another small rock as a moon. And we
okay.
The mission's plan was to hit the small orbiting moon to see if it can ultimately, like, at what speed, what does do all the calculations work for this to happen? Can yes. we alter its trajectory?
And it did.
Yes.
It did. Now, you have to ask yourself, I mean, again, I applaud this. This is excellent forward thinking. God forbid it should ever become necessary, but at least now we've got some real world data, you know, not just a movie, to see.
We didn't catapult Bruce Willis against us. We're like,
we have to get Chuck Norris and put him against the because you know they would just all run away. No, but our bureaucracies, our military institutions, they do game a whole bunch of stuff through. They really do. And again, I'm all for that. But to say that we couldn't have imagined it is complete nonsense.
Oh yeah, completely.
Which brings us to the planes and collapse, and then you get the perpetrators. At 8:46 a.m., the government says five hijackers crashed American Airlines Flight 11 into the World Trade Center's North Tower, and at 9:03 a.m., another five hijackers crashed United Airlines Flight 175 into the South Tower. Okay. Average Joe Blow witnesses on the ground say they saw planes hit the building, and clearly from the video evidence from both mainstream media and some amateurs on the ground, we do see planes hit the building. But the plane markings are not clear, and thus we are not sure if those planes were in fact the planes that the government said were the flights in question. What we do know is that, and I mentioned this before, that Larry Silverstein procured a lease for the World Trade Center in July 2001, so only 3 months prior, right? And won the bid despite being outbid by a rival.
Huh.
And it just so happens Larry Silverstein also had the lease on building number 7.
Yeah, that's true. So, goodness me. All right. Point 5, 9/11, the perpetrators. According to the government, the leader of the 9/11 attack was former CIA agent Osama bin Laden. And the mastermind operations manager was Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. They said they were 19. So they said there were 19 hijackers involved in the attacks, and the government-sponsored 9/11 Commission concluded so. As anyone who understands crime investigations knows, one must follow the evidence. And the evidence says a lot that the government does not say. Firstly, the alleged evildoers are dead and their Al-Qaeda organization is decimated. More, they don't appear to have benefits from the attacks except notoriety. Oh, and all of those virgins. Who did benefit from the attacks? Were the war profiteers and anti-civil liberties groups? The text is terrible. In the days after 9/11, the government waged two major wars and reduced the American public from a once free society to complete controlled corporate fascism. In the wars, trillions of dollars were made. The evidence is everywhere. The global beneficiaries are everywhere in plain sight, while the American people are saddled with a broken economy, no relative freedom, and a bleak future.
Well, that's absolutely the case, though, right? I mean, a lot of people made a lot of money. And I'm not even talking about the people that shorted the airline stock.
Oh, no. So also the... I think the big surprise here about the perpetrators, Mickey, was that it was being called out in the broadcast of the actual event already.
Yeah, I know. And I mean,
wow, that's some journalism right there.
So let's follow that logic, because I remember this very clearly, because they had fingered Osama bin Laden within hours of this happening. So what we saw just prior to this, on the morning of September 11th, 2001, we saw the complete failure of the entire military, industrial, and intelligence complex of the United States of America and their allies. It was a complete failure because it happened. The attacks happened, and there was nothing done to prevent them. There was no information coming through that they could be prevented. So the entire machinery of the Americans and their allies, right, in this particular instance, you know, military, industry, intelligence, all of it, it failed completely. However, within hours of the attack, we knew exactly who had done it.
Uh-huh.
The same machinery that had just catastrophically failed gave us the perpetrators in a matter of hours. Now, I'm just a simple kind of guy, Dave.
Really? Right?
I like my eggs soft boiled and my toast, you know, on the brown side.
Uh-huh.
And you know, that's I like simple life. Simple life is good. But that, I'm sorry, mate. That is completely insane. And what is even more insane is that not a single person, because let's assume this was failure. This was a complete failure of everything, and somebody, not one somebody, but many somebodies mm-hmm. failed to do their job, right? Not a single person that I know of or that has been reported on, which reminds me of something else which I mentioned, was ever actually indicted or punished or lost uh-huh. their jobs over this. Mm-hmm. Not one. Did you know what this reminds me of?
What?
This reminds me of 2008 and the great collapse. You know, all the bankers and all the great one guy, one lonely fall guy trader
mm-hmm.
was arrested and jailed. And I think he was headed, like, actually, he was of Arab extraction, if I'm not mistaken. But I do apologize. If
you're profiling. Right. It's profiling.
But I know. But it was just the one dude out of the multitude, the legion, yet again, of people that did something wrong. So this, and again, but in 9/11, not a single person was reprimanded for having been asleep at the job.
That's the same as Enron. To be clear. Yeah, so every single audit that had been performed in the lead up to its failing was all just make believe.
Yeah.
And you know, it had failed. Well, now all of the dust is still settling. I'm out of here. What audit?
Yeah.
The same thing with 9/11.
No, so, you stop it.
So, look, as far as the pancaking event of the building is concerned, I just want to say something straight away. And that is the way that the construction is, was that the inner core was super strong, and it's an exoskeleton-styled building with very few vertical supports. There's only long trusses from the inside to the external wall. So it's called an external exoskeleton design. It's not an internal building like what you might be familiar with now, where there's a column, a huge column every once in a while within the building floor space on every floor. That isn't the way it was designed. It was designed with all this grand open spaces, and that's really nice. So they built, you know, metal trusses from the outside steel. The outside steel wall had huge square, or you could call it rectangular tubes, really super thick, and everything was riveted together. So they didn't weld them together, they riveted them together. And that was ultimately the strongest thing you can make, kind of like Meccano, right, with nuts and bolts. But those rivets have an amount of shear which will make it fail. And that shear, as the building started to collapse, exceeded the capability of those, all the rivets across from the core all the way to the outside. So the entire platform was just roofing material flooded with cement. That's what every floor was. So they had, like, you know, like a tin roof panned out from the inside core all the way across those trusses to the outside. And they just basically flood filled that with, you know, 100 mil of concrete. That's sufficient. It works, right? And it had worked. but there's no independent flaw that could fail that would cause the next to pancake unless you had a sizable event, and that certainly did have a sizable event. That same compression of air where you're trying to constitute that between those two floors that are pancaking would also amount to all the other little blowouts you see. I don't believe that it was that every floor was hot, although some of those beams that I saw after, right, when the building had come down, dead set looked like they had their thermite shape charges cut through, and you know, all the evidence is gone. They took it all away and they disposed of the whole lot so quickly and without studying or having independent study or examination of the dust. I think what they didn't want was for people to find all the asbestos in it. So anyone covered in that grey dust was more likely to pass away in the next 50 years anyway. Doesn't matter what your age, because you get asbestosis. That's one of the big things. One, the second, all the electrical, sorry, all the lighting, fluorescent battens all have a single drop of mercury in it. The mercury is really bad for you. Yeah. I mean, that's extraordinarily bad. How, and one of my big questions, how can you have a fire that just lasts for 3 weeks and never gets like molten metal fire in the rubble? That's beyond me as well, how that can occur. If it was only the plain heat source. I'm not going to say planes fuel can't melt steel. You're right, it can't, but it can heat it up to a certain extent and then it can have some fail. But I don't believe that that was also the only element in which caused the buildings to collapse. Now, the reason why I say that is because of the architects and what is it? The architects and engineers for 9/11. They wanted to actually see the details that were hidden. They wanted to make them public so they could examine it in order to build a building strong enough to not come down in the future. That's what their whole mission is, just purely educational. But where you're only using the same tech today that was built with. Wow. Hey, that's a mistake. We should learn from it. So share with us, O 9/11 Commission, with the details. They didn't. They still haven't. They still put their head out.
Well, color me disappointed. Color me disappointed.
So, you know, we've seen buildings in Japan and buildings in, where is it, Spain or Mexico, that were of the same construction that burnt for, you know, 24 hours and still didn't come down.
Correct.
So that, and you know, Building 7, who needed to have all 80 columns fail simultaneously in the basement that had never caught fire for that building to come down as it did.
Yep.
And all of those things, these are those little tiny things that they skip. Yeah, we've all seen the footage. We've seen the footage of all of it. Most of us were there, you know, online watching, you know, in the media, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We were there watching it
yes.
on the edge of our chairs with our mouths open, agape, because we can't believe this is happening.
Yes.
In our world.
But I then, remember it. It's so gone yet.
Yeah, but then to have learned that this thing we witnessed, which was so appalling, it's changed the planet.
Mm-hmm.
To hear that, you know what, if there was a scenario where some billionaire, like we're trying to do this thing, says the government, who can we enlist to help us? We need a really big event. Well, what could we have? Or maybe a plane going into buildings. Yeah, cool. Well, what buildings? Well, what buildings would be the best ones? I don't know, the Twin Towers maybe. Oh, I couldn't. Really? Do you think we could? Yeah, well, look, it's still July, right? It's July. We'll talk to him. You know, it's Larry. We'll call Larry up and say hello. And they go, well, look, would you like to be part of this thing? I don't know. Talk to me. It's worth a lot to you. Well, I'm in, right? What do I need to do? Nothing. I don't have to do anything. You know, if you want to tell some people, you can get them out of the buildings, but, you know, don't worry about it. We'll figure it out later on.
No stairs. Sorry.
And so the very next thing is, as soon as he hangs up from that call, he rings the insurance company. I need to insure my buildings for the rest of the day. Any reason? No. Well, I've just been kind of concerned, right? Click.
Yeah.
Done. Because if you were anyone, you would want the buy-in of the people whose buildings were going to be part of it.
Of course.
Think that they thought by taking out the corner of the building that it would make the whole building bend at that point and fail.
Yes.
And then smash into, when you look at the layout, that it would then come down and smash. It would be really dramatic, great on film. But to just have a small fire and, you know, and there really wasn't much else going on. And, you know, most of the plane parts came out the other side of the building. You know, it didn't do it for me. As much as if the building, like was it not the day after tomorrow, the other one, the one where the buildings that they're flying through a plane and they're trying to avoid all the buildings coming down because the earthquakes and all that crazy thing. Yeah, there's huge waves destroying things and they're flying, there's earthquakes in LA and they're flying a plane almost, you know, halfway down a building's height and the building's coming over and they're avoiding, and that's Hollywood. That kind of building destruction is Hollywoodized, but that's what I kind of expected that they were going to, that they thought they were going to achieve by taking a corner of the building. Of course, it didn't do anything of the sort. The buildings just sucked it up. Hey, we're strong. We're good.
Yeah, 100%.
The night 2012. Thanks, nobody. Yeah, 2012.
Yeah.
The other
thing, that's right.
I hope we'll get onto it, but later we'll talk about who the building security head of security was.
All links of that person.
Yep.
That we had, I know we had them. They're no longer in our show notes, and I can't find any links to the, you know, who.
That's right.
Yeah, online, nothing. Yep. It's completely gone. But I remember fun. because we made a big hoo ha about this when we first had the show years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, this show we did 8 years ago. Right? It was show number 133,
mm-hmm.
and we I know we talked about it. It's almost like a Mandela thing now with this. It's like. And all it, like, I know everybody on here is now mystified what we're talking about. We will get to it. We will explain to you what we mean. But the head of building security was connected to a very special family.
That's right. You might have heard the family. I think one of the members of the family was listening to a children's story.
And no, not that family.
Oh, a different one.
Yeah, the
don't say it now. I'm not going to say it.
But a family that held a similar position,
right?
Same position, in fact.
Yeah.
Just prior. Look, I don't know if we've got time to go, just because there's another 24 hard facts we want to share with you.
Of course.
And these are like hard facts, which you can't just. Oh yeah, no, that's not the case. No, it really is. I think we'd probably do a couple so you get a bit of a taste.
All right. Well, let's do that.
Number one, nanothermite was found in the dust at Ground Zero. Peer-reviewed in the Bentham Open Chemical Physics Journal, Niels Harrit, Thermite Bentham, The Great Thermite Debate, John Cole, Iron-Rich Spheres, Stephen Jones, Limited Metallurgical Examination, FEMA C13, Appendix C6, nanotubes. That's where it comes from. Okay, so thermite. Nanothermite was found in the dust at Ground Zero. Now, thermite is a high temperature substance which is used for demolition, especially of steel trusses and such, because it cuts through it like butter.
Yeah, so like a shape charge, but you ignite it. So aluminium oxide and iron oxide.
Yes. It's super. So some of the photos we saw there, it looked like those steel 4x4s enlargers had been cut with a laser. I mean, obviously not a laser, but that's what it looked like.
Yeah,
I think we can do this. Do the second one. We can do that one.
Yeah, cool. All right. So 1,700 plus engineers and architects support a real independent 9/11 investigation. And now there's a thought. There are now 1,700 architects and engineers for 9/11 truth. One could say that this constitutes a small minority of the total number of architects and engineers, which is true. A more interesting question would be, what percentage of architects and engineers are against 9/11 truth? Truth in this case would refer to an alternate version of events than the official version. And a still more interesting question would be, what percentage of those architects and engineers who are against 9/11 truth have examined the evidence presented by the 9/11 architects and engineers for 9/11 truth? If even one architect or engineer challenged the official version of 9/11, this would be the grounds for us to challenge the official version also. Given that there are 1,699 additional experts that challenge the official version, so much stronger are the grounds for us to challenge it as well.
I think that's a fair point. The third hard fact is that the total collapse of World Trade Center 7 in 6.5 seconds at free fall acceleration, NIST admits 2.25 seconds. Larry Silverstein used the term "pullet." Steel-framed high-rise buildings have never totally collapsed from fire or structural damage. Building 7 was also not hit by a plane.
Yes. Dick Cheney was in command of NORAD on 9/11 while running war games. Stand down order. Of course, the orders still stand. Have you heard anything to the contrary? Norman Mineta testimony gave the order to shoot down Flight 93 NORAD drills.
Yep. Six out of the 10 commissioners believe the 9/11 commission report was set up to fail. Co-chairs Hamilton and Keene. It was a 30-year conspiracy. The White House has played cover-up. Max Cleland resigned. John Farmer.
Yeah, I'm gonna stop it there because we're less than a minute left. Out. And
yes,
another crazy hour has gone by. Now, this is Dave and Mekki's Shiny Side Out, episode 552, part 2, second hour, and we've come to an end. There's the music. Coming up next is Jer Bear's awesome show, After Hours. Do ring in, listen in, ring in, be part of it. And we'll see you on Tuesday and Thursday mornings in US time. Until then, take care.
Radio.
We will not comply with the institution's sick illusion. No, it won't be televised. Welcome to the
Broadcasting live from the peak of Mount Warning, the most easterly point of Australia. Tune in to the Free Manatee Radio Show with your host, Spread Love, every Monday, 6 a.m. EST. On the show each week, we discuss realistic solutions to help you observe rather than take part in the globalist agenda. We will dig into the past to find solutions for the future. We will discuss the wisdom of Ayurveda, the science of life, for techniques for understanding and achieving personal health and longevity. Please join us every Monday on Studio A, 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Freemanity Radio broadcast with your host, Spread Love, on Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe.